It's Kevin McCullough on AM 970, The Answer.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Kevin McCullough, and here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Obliterating confusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
So much to get to in this coming hour. Of course, Santa needs to make changes. We'll tell you what millennials think about that before we're done. Governor Mike Huckabee will weigh in on the potential government shutdown. Bree Payton from The Federalist stops by to talk about the Women's March. Kaylee McEnany with reaction to the top stories. And we start with some legal analysis from Margo Cleveland.
Kevin McCullough.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog
has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
He is playing a role.
As well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Do you know why you were loyal to him at the beginning?
No. It was a blind loyalty. It was to a man I admired, but I do not know the answer to it.
That's Michael Cohen, who he continues to try to surprise me in many ways. I keep thinking he can't be this bad. He's that bad. He doesn't seem very bright. I don't know why anybody would hire him as an attorney. But he was, of course, on this morning with George Stephanopoulos, flailing once again, much like he did before the judge yesterday, saying, please, 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 I'm confessing to a crime. And I want you to see that what I did was a crime, even if it's not defined as a crime. I want you, the judge, to understand that I committed a crime. I'm confessing to committing a crime that's not even a crime yet. But I want you to know that I committed that crime. There's a lot of speculation about what he yet has and how there may be some other elements to testimony on various things that they may go after. I'm not sure. But so Stephanopoulos asked him, why were you loyal? Cut one.
Do you know why you were loyal to him at the beginning?
No, it was a blind loyalty. It was to a man I admired, but I do not know the answer to it. And I'm angry at myself. My family is disappointed that they have taught me, my mother, father, right from wrong, and I didn't display good judgment.
That's almost like the Bill Clinton apology. It's not that I did wrong, it's I just displayed not good judgment. Anyway, Kevin McCullough, glad you're with us. So earlier today, I was watching Fox News, and I'm hearing this debate between Juan Williams and Sandra Smith and Bill Hemmer and a couple of, and Byron York, all on America's Newsroom. And Juan Williams keeps coming back to this idea that that Trump definitely committed a crime, and Michael Cohen is definitely affirmation of that committed crime. And if Juan had just seen what Chairman Emeritus of a little law school named Harvard had said just 10 minutes previous on the channel, Alan Dershowitz said, Trump can pay a person and even make it public. He could go in public to a person, say, I'm paying you this money to stop bothering me, and I'm doing it because I'm running for office. And Alan Dershowitz says that doesn't violate campaign finance laws in any way. And then when pushed back on that by Sandra Smith, Alan Dershowitz said, I challenge someone, anyone that's criticizing the president on this, show me the statute that it violates. You're gonna have to come up with more than this. I'll ask Kaylee McEnany about that in the second segment. She's another lawyer, but someone who has worked at law schools and often dissects the legal implications of different major stories of the day is Margo Cleveland. She writes for The Federalist. She's written also for The Washington Examiner and other outlets, even townhall.com, a publication we're favored to around these Salem parts. But Margo Cleveland, it's good to have you back. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much.
So where are we at with the investigations of collusion and the president and the sentencing of people like Flynn and Cohen and all this stuff at this point, Margo? How much more of this is there to come from your analysis of what you've looked at and what you're writing about these days?
I just wanted to make a note from the various clips that you've posed. One thing that I had seen was Cohen saying that Trump was in the room when they talked about the payments, which
right.
may or may not be true. But the question I have then is, if Cohen says this is a crime, did he advise his client of it? Because Trump is his client. He's the lawyer. He should know what campaign finance law is if he's helping him with this. Did he say, I don't know if this is legal? Because when you have a lawyer involved, that's one of the responsibilities. And as you noted, that you've got the experts out there saying this isn't even a crime. Doesn't make it right, doesn't make it look good, but it looks like they're trying to set up Cohen to somehow set up Trump. So that's the campaign finance angle. The Russia angle, I'm not quite sure what road they're going down here, because nothing
right.
seems to be coming out.
And even mm-hmm. in Cohen's conviction, you know, the plea deal,
sure.
he only got 2 months of the 36 to serve concurrently, and that was for lying to Congress, supposedly,
right.
About his testimony. So it's even on that, it's a process crime. It's not a substance crime. And,
right.
here's what I want to know as it relates to that as well, because mm-hmm. you have, and you mentioned this in your column yesterday, but it appears that you have the FBI first and then the special counsel following, because one picked up the investigation from the other. But
right.
you have Comey on tape yesterday saying he didn't follow protocol. He just sent agents in to corner Flynn. You have 302s that are evidently being absconded with, and new ones being rewritten 7 months after the interviews, and things that they didn't think a month after the interview, they changed 7 months after the interview. Margo, it doesn't seem like there's any rules for the side that are trying to make Trump say he broke all the rules. Like, where's the fair play in this?
Right. That definitely is an irony that you see here. And just a couple points on what you said. The substance crime versus the merits of it, even when it's lying under the oath and we kind of poo-poo that as a substance crime, to me that's a big deal. But the difference is it's not proving Russia collusion. It's not proving Trump's involvement. So, yes, we have these process crimes. I think I misspoke there. We have these process crimes, which are still crimes. What struck me and what I wrote about yesterday is we now know that there were at least two 302 summaries from related to the Flynn interview.
Right.
And we know that because in the sentencing memo, Flynn's attorneys represented that they took the facts from the 302 written in August of 2017. But Comey, in his testimony, and said that
he read
on Friday,
it. Yeah.
he said that, well, how did I know what happened in that Flynn interview? Well, you know, I read the 302 and probably talked to the attorney, maybe did both. There was one that must have happened before Comey got fired, which was in May.
Well, we're very fortunate that we've got the judge that we do, because this guy wants to see everything, and he wants the defense to have the right to see everything, which is supposed to be what they get.
Absolutely. And for those who don't know Judge Sullivan's background, he was the district judge who handled the case when Stevens was put on trial, and he discovered horrible misconduct by the prosecutor. And on my Twitter feed, I linked to the report that went through all of the misconduct that happened in Senator Stevens, the late Republican senator from Alaska, in his prosecution, and a lot of it dealt with 302. So the fact that Judge Sullivan was saying, I want these filed, all filed with the court, given what he saw happen with 302s, I feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable when it's going on with the Inspector General in Congress or the committees in Congress that we're going to know something. I trust Judge Sullivan. If he says, look, there were two 302s and nothing was changed, I take his word on that.
Well, and here's the other mm-hmm. important factor of what you uncovered yesterday, Margo, and that is that the director of the FBI in the Ted Stevens case was Bob Mueller. And it seems like there is a consistent pattern here in terms of what we're looking at. But we'll have to wait and let the facts demonstrate that. Professor, always great to have you with us. Thanks for your analysis today.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Coming up next, Kaylee McEnany, Bree Payton, Mike Huckabee, and Santa before we're done. It's Kevin McCullough for Friday. Don't go away.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Let's take a look at your ride here in New Jersey on this Friday evening. We're looking at a lot of volume on the southbound side of the parkway as you go south of exit 163 down to 153 in Clifton, and more delays from 147 right on down to exit 132. Northbound, we're slow from 136 up through the Union Tolls and on up towards exit 153. Turnpike Western Spur jammed up top to bottom on the southbound side. Eastern Spur heavy 16E down to 15X, then more delays from 13A down towards 13. 287 southbound through Bound Brook, Franklin, Piscataway, and Edison were on the slow side, and more delays on 440 heading up towards the Parkway. And we're looking at delays on 27 as you travel through New Brunswick, also very slow on Route 1 as you travel north of 18, heading up towards the Parkway in Edison. Taking a look at your ride across the Hudson, 45 minutes outbound the Holland Tunnel, about 15 to 20 on the city-bound side. Lincoln Tunnel, a half hour on each side of the Hudson. GW Bridge, some volume on the inbound side, about 15 minutes both upstairs and down. And now you know how not to go. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Have you ever had a legal question pertaining to elder law or estate law? During Kevin McCullough Radio, you'll hear from Mike Connors of Connors & Sullivan, Attorneys at Law, answering a real listener's actual question. Simply email the question to Mike Connors at askmikeconnors@gmail.com. You can also call 718-238-6500. Make sure that you listen to Mike Connors and Ask the Lawyer Saturday mornings at 8 on AM 570 The Mission and Saturday nights at 6 on AM 970 The Answer.
How would you like to buy or lease your next new car knowing you got it for less than any dealer price? How would you like to know that you can also get the same insurance coverage for that car for less? How would you like to have someone else do all the legwork and even deliver your new car right to you? And do all this without wasting time in a car dealership? If this sounds too good to be true, well, it's not. Buy or lease the new car you're looking for at the best price with Vineyard Auto Group. And the Christian principles Vineyard Auto Group has built their business on provide added security. Call Vineyard Auto Group at 866-965-AUTO. That's 866-965-AUTO. Or visit vineyardautogroup.com. Once again, that's vineyardautogroup.com or 866-965-AUTO, 866-965-AUTO.
Hi, it's Bagels and Broadway with me, Valerie Smaldone, Saturday mornings at 9. I'll be talking theater, food, nightlife, day life, restaurants, and new food products. Theater, food, wine, what else do you need? AM 970.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. What do you do for the 2 o'clock lull? You know that one part of the afternoon where you just feel like you're dragging and you need a little pick-me-up, but you don't want to put harmful energy drinks in your body because they're not natural and they have too much caffeine and sugar and carbs in them for you to stay healthy? Well, what if I told you that there's a brand new one out that's loaded up with more absorbable CoQ10 and is caffeine-free, sugar-free, and carb-free? It's good for your joints. It's great for your heart. It'll hydrate you and energize you, or as we like to say, CoQ10ergize. Best of all, I've got a free sample waiting for you right now. All you have to do is go to this website, kmcfree.com. That's kmcfree.com. The first 100 people that go will get a free sample all to their own with free shipping included. kmcfree.com. CoQ10 Energy. Hydrate and CoQ10 Energize the healthy way. More absorbable CoQ10. Caffeine, sugar, and carb free. And it's free to you. kmcfree.com.
What drives a business? Construction and real estate. Get the inside story from the experts on planning, engineering, government relations, and more. Don't miss Constructive Conversations with the Builders Institute, Saturday night at 7:30 on AM 970, The Answer.
Listen to Joe Piscopo in the morning, weekdays at 6, Mike Gallagher at 10 on AM 970, The Answer.
Ding dong, ding dong, that is the song with joyful ring, love caroling. One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Songs of good cheer, Christmas is here. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. Merry, 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 merry Christmas.
Who better to keep her eye on the swamp? Take a Harvard law grad and someone who knows the media underbelly like the back of her hand and set her loose. National spokesperson for the Republican National Committee, Kayleigh McEnany. Exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
I followed a bad path, and hence how we started this conversation. I have my freedom, and I will not be the villain, as I told you once before. I will not be the villain of his story.
You know what I learned from Michael Cohen's appearance on Good Morning America this morning? His New York accent is way worse than I thought it was. There were times he almost sounded gangster-like, and I was like, what is this? Anyway, Kevin McCullough, happy Friday to you. A little music from the Gettys background there. They were in concert at Carnegie last night. Late night for me. What a great night. 2,000 people gathered and singing Christmas carols in the heart of New York City. Imagine that. We would have a hard time thinking that we live in such a day and age. Anyway, she's here. She's got opinions on all things legal and politics and president and GOP related. It is none other than Kayleigh McEnany, and we are happy to have her back. Kayleigh, Merry Christmas to you. Don't get tired of me saying it, because I'm going to say it a bunch more before Christmas actually comes, but Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. I love saying it, and I love hearing it, so thanks.
So here's the thing. Cohen goes on and, flays himself before, George Stephanopoulos. Like, that's a really tough thing anyway, right? So it's a softball, easy interview. And he's like, I will not be the responsible for his dirty deeds, and I will do this and that. You got your former chairman emeritus of a little school called Harvard Law School, your school, Harvard Law, that chairman emeritus, Alan Dershowitz, saying there was no crime committed here. Even if you can prove that Donald Trump told him to do it, it would not have been a crime in any respect. Now the FEC, top story on Fox News today, FEC alumni are saying there's no campaign finance law violated here. Kayleigh, you're not only the spokesperson for the GOP, you're also a lawyer. What's your take on this?
Yeah, the former FEC Commissioner Bradley Smith said this is absolutely not a campaign finance violation. And he went on to say, if we considered anything that influenced the election a potential campaign finance violation, you would have to charge someone with a crime if they upgraded their haircut from a $15 haircut to a $40 one because they wanted to look more spiffy on the campaign trail. That would be, an attempt to influence the election and a potential crime. He's illustrating the absurdity of calling this a crime and a campaign finance violation. The academic community is virtually in lockstep saying this is not, the legal community as well, and anyone who tells you otherwise probably isn't worth their salt when it comes to law and how you interpret it. And I would just add to Alan Dershowitz, he went on to say it's actually shocking that this has not been prosecuted as an extortion case against Stormy Daniels. Why has this not been targeted by the special counsel? Because he said this is, quote, a textbook case of extortion. So on the contrary, you have no campaign finance violation, a potential crime going the other way, and Mueller's team entirely ignoring the entire thing.
Yeah, and that's disturbing because, the intention was to have a special counsel that would follow the evidence where it leads. And it doesn't look like he followed any Russian leads that pointed back to Hillary. And as Alan Dershowitz points out, none of the other issues here related to any of these things seem to be followed up on as well. But, Kayleigh, when you couple that with what we have Comey on record, and we played the actual comments on yesterday's show, saying that he basically skirted an entire complete White House protocol to go send two agents to talk to Flynn, didn't tell him why they were coming, didn't tell him his rights, didn't let him have an attorney in the room, didn't even make him aware that if he said something that was, if he misspoke in front of them, that they could charge him with a crime for that. I mean, this has been, ever since it was an FBI investigation, a gotcha, that they were looking to skirt the rules on their side to try to get something against Trump and his team.
That's exactly right, and it is so disturbing, the news we learned this week about how Comey and the FBI approached the Michael Flynn case. Literally, he's called up by Andrew McCabe, who's no longer there, who committed perjury himself, ironically. McCabe says, hey, we just want to ask you a few questions about Russia, just a casual few questions. It's easier not to do it with a lawyer. He comes over to the White House. Flynn's thinking he's among allies and friends and gives him a tour of the White House, proceeds to have a conversation
information about Russia. And then 7 months later, they write up 302s, which are summaries of that meeting, which is highly unusual to wait 7 months. And all of a sudden, they change their conclusion that he had not lied to that he did lie. And they, of course, never warned him that if he did mislead, it would be perjury and a crime. So many abnormalities here. It was a bait and switch, a complete perjury trap. That's what perjury traps look like. And they seduced a 33-year general into basically pleading guilty to having lied to the FBI. It's really breathtaking. And of course, Strzok and McCabe are no longer there, the biased FBI personnel
that participated in that. But Kaylee, there's some controversy now based on some reporting that I saw, Margo Cleveland at the Federalist yesterday and a couple of others. But they noted that it appears that while the date of the 302 is from 7 months later, it appears that there was one from February of that year, which would have been closer to the time that they normally would have been written. But something happened to it. Do we have any details on where that 302 went?
That's exactly right. So Jim Comey, during his testimony on the Hill, said, I read a 302 on this meeting. Pretty disturbing thing to learn, because Comey was fired in May of 2017. We learned that 302s were written in August of 2017, so Comey wouldn't have had access to these, which means that there were other 302s. So there were multiple circulations of summaries of this meeting, multiple documents potentially, which is what led Judge Sullivan to say, hey, I need to see these. Turn over any documentation you have, Mueller, because I need to see these summaries, especially if there were multiple versions floating around. So very curious news on that front.
And not just the judge. He's instructed them to turn them over to Flynn's defense team as well.
Exactly. And they deserve at least that. The way he's been treated is an absolute travesty.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see. The idea that we're at this point, though, Kaylee, and it's been however long, a couple of years plus, and we're still talking about tax evasion and hush payments and all this other stuff. $40 million minimum that we've spent on the special counsel and nothing. It's time to draw this thing to a close. And I think the quicker we do that, the better off the country will be.
Absolutely. You know, there's no collusion. There's no obstruction. There's no campaign finance violation. Time to wrap this up, Mueller.
Yeah. All right. Kaylee, I always appreciate your perspective, especially as a Harvard Law grad today. You're tapping into your attorney side more than your GOP spokesperson side. But have a great weekend and a Merry Christmas. Kevin McCullough Radio, we continue. More breaking news, what it means and why it matters on the way. Don't go away.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
We have generally cloudy skies and 50 degrees on this Friday evening. What's going on? We have the answer. Well, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who was said to be under consideration for the White House Chief of Staff job, says he's not interested in moving to D.C. Here's Noam Layden with more.
Multiple reports had Chris Christie at the top of Trump's list, but the former governor releasing a statement saying it's an honor to be considered, but now's not the right time for him to take the huge White House post. Some voters in New Jersey wondered if Trump and Christie, two men with big personalities, could have actually worked together.
Heaven help us. I don't think it's a good combo.
There might be fire and ice there, because there's two strong personalities there.
Trump and Christie have been longtime friends, and Christie backed Trump's presidential bid after he bowed out of the 2016 race for the White House. Noam Layden, NBC News Radio, New York.
Bruce Springsteen is ending his Broadway run this weekend, but a documentary on the show will debut on Netflix the day after. Here's James Flippin with more.
Saturday's show at the Walter Kerr Theater will be the final curtain for Bruce Springsteen on Broadway. A pop-up store selling the 2-CD soundtrack and merchandise will be open as well at the Crown Plaza Hotel next door. And folks can stream the soundtrack if they wish, just like Netflix subscribers can stream a documentary of the show Sunday. The filmmaker says it's a straightforward look at the show itself with no cutaways or interspliced footage. 236 shows on Broadway come and gone for the boss once it's all said and done, after what was only supposed to be a 3-month run that got extended. James Flippin, NBC News Radio, New York.
In sports, NBA, Knicks are in Charlotte, the Nets host the Washington Wizards. Hockey action, Devils host the Vegas Golden Knights, Rangers host the Arizona Coyotes. Taking a look at the traffic across the Hudson River, back to New Jersey at the Holland Tunnel, we're looking at about a 45-minute delay, 15 to 20 on the city-bound side, Lincoln 30 each way. Clouds this evening, then rain and moves in overnight, low 45. Morning rain tomorrow, tapers in the afternoon, high of 50. And now you know what's going on. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule.
Oh, no colds, no flu, lots of energy, just overall well-being. It's just if I stop taking it, I see the difference. You know, I would never stop with these. I, you know, would keep them on hand always.
Well, I got more energy for sure. I don't feel the same if I don't take this every day. I think it's improved my life greatly because I was feeling real sluggish before, sluggish and tired. I had like this brain fog. It's all gone now. You know, I've been taking this stuff and I feel like I have the energy of an 18-year-old with the looks of a 30-year-old and I'm 50. It's crazy. This stuff is crazy. I love it.
For a limited time, use discount code THEANSWER. And we'll take 35% off your first preferred set of fruits and veggies and have them shipped to you free. Call 800-246-8751 or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code THEANSWER.
This is Dan Proft with 60 Seconds of Sanity for upstream-ideas.com. The path to putting a Democrat in the White House runs through God. That's not me saying God favors Republicans. That's potty-mouthed DNC Chairman Tom Perez saying God's faithful disapprove of Tom's faithful because of biblical instruction on pesky issues like life and death. Quoting from Perez's comments on the clergy, that person on the pulpit is saying, ignore everything else that this person, Trump, has done and is doing. We have to focus on one issue of Roe v. Wade. And people buy it because that's their only source. Perez is at once troubled by Americans who think checks and balances apply to the judicial branch and life is a gift from God not to be easily discarded. Perez is additionally unnerved by churchgoers who lean on spiritual leaders working from Western civilization's source material rather than finding their righteous footing from Sister Maddow's Jeremiads. The short of it is Tom Perez would like you to stop attending church because it puts a real crimp in the ability of Democrats to make the state your God.
Proving that he may be ready for prime time. Frank Morano, Sunday mornings at 4 on AM 970. The Answer.
Wait a minute.
We're three kings of Orient time. Bearing gifts, we traverse afar. Field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star.
Obliterating confusion, amplifying truth, and pursuing clarity. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
I would love to be able to regulate the content of speech.
It was hard for me to get through that segment yesterday because when you hear Ted Lieu say that, you just want to choke his little head off his body. How dare you, Congressman Lieu, say that you want to control my speech? You don't get to do that. This is America. Kevin McCullough, glad you're with us. Happy Friday. And I'm being facetious about choking his little head off his body. That's not what I'm interested in doing. But someone who first brought my attention to that story yesterday was not able to join us yesterday, but she is able to join us today on two other stories that are of equal importance. Bree Payton is back with us from The Federalist. She's the staff writer there. She covers a lot of their breaking news stories, but also does opinion pieces. Bree, it's good to talk to you. And let me just be official about this. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
It's been such a fun thing to be able to do that the last couple of years in ways that maybe we hadn't been as free to do before. So real quickly, you've got a new piece out today about more missing text messages and the DOJ potentially destroying them before the inspector general was able to review them. How did you find out about this and what happened?
Yeah, so it was in the Inspector General report that came out yesterday afternoon, just detailing, you know, the way that the Department of Justice officials handled Peter Strzok and Lisa Page's personal devices after they were removed or quit from Robert Mueller's team in the DOJ. So for both of them, in both cases, their iPhones that they had, because they had two different devices. So they had Samsung Galaxy S5, and then they both had iPhones. And then when the Department of Justice upgraded to the Samsung Galaxy S7, then, you know, bits of information off of that were wiped off, and then they were given and reissued new phones. But their iPhones, however, they were, like, given. One was given to a different employee, one wasn't. And both of these were wiped clean, and kind of resourced and reconfigured. And that was, you know, just interesting the way that the Department of Justice decided to handle that.
Okay, and so what does the 11-page report tell us about the potential messages that are there?
Yeah, so, I mean, it just really looks like the Department of Justice, either intentionally or not intentionally, we're not really sure about their intentions. The Inspector General report doesn't detail that or go into that at all. But the fact of the matter is that officials within the Justice Department did delete text messages off of these two individuals' phones before the Inspector General did get a chance to review them. And, you know, it just raises a lot of questions about the way that Robert Mueller's team is operating, how accountable it is or isn't within the Department of Justice.
Sure.
And whether or not, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, bureaucrats have an interest to serve themselves, right? And so whenever you're looking at information, that is always in the back of my mind, at least.
Yeah, no, no doubt. Well, good reporting on that. And I think a lot of people did not know that, but more text messages missing from the phones of Strzok and Page that the Inspector General wasn't able to see before he made his report. And of course, Strzok, you know, his name has been now reinvoked a little bit because of Comey's confessions basically before that audience yesterday where he said, you know, I sent a couple of agents over there. That was McCabe and Strzok, and they, you know, they're not there anymore, and they did not follow the protocol to get in there. So, yeah, there's a lot of question marks about how this investigation started with the FISA report, was conducted under the FBI auspices, and then as it transferred over to the special counsel. But we're going to have to follow this all the way through. And I know you will be for the Federalist, Bree Payton. You've also written about in recent days, and I haven't covered this story at all, but I feel like I should at least on some level. There's a new expose out that's been published on the Women's March, and this has really exposed some of the kind of not so nice things about how they got started. Give us the summary of what it is, and really, why is it important, Bree, that they are exposing what this origins debate really looked like?
Sure. So there was a giant 10,000-word piece out about the research over at Tablet Magazine, just revealing a lot of the anti-Semitic sentiments that were there at the very beginning of the Women's March. So I'm quoting loosely here, but in the Tablet Magazine article, there's a part where it talks about some of the leaders of the Women's March getting together, one of like the first initial meetings ever before they even announced the march, you know, back in 2016, at one of the very first meetings, they're all getting together. And it was like Tamika Mallory, Linda Sarsour, and one of them said basically that Jewish Americans bear like a special responsibility for the oppression that Black women and women of color have had to face in America, right? And then a number of other kind of anti-Semitic sentiments woven into this weird intersectional rationale. And, you know, that combined with several of the Women's March leaders' close connections to Louis Farrakhan and their, you know, unwillingness to basically distance themselves from him and disavow him, I think really speaks volumes about what the movement is and what their real interests are.
And what it was from the beginning. Well, friends, it's worth the read. Check out the incompetent PR response to the expose on the Women's March, Women's March's anti-Semitism. But it's in the Federalist. It's in Bree's archives. And she also, I love this, Bree. You got Jennifer Rubin, who is one of my favorites to troll on Twitter. You got her to actually run away from you because she asked you, or because you asked her what she actually believed that held any kind of conservative values to it anymore. And I want people to read that as well, because it was quite a cool thing. I've been very disappointed with Jennifer for the last couple of years, if not going back all the way to the campaign. But anyway, Bree, great to have you with us. Thanks for being here.
Of course. Thank you.
Kevin McCullough Radio. When we continue, Governor Mike Huckabee, stay with us.
you tired of waking up early on a Sunday to listen to Frank Morano or listening to him to get interrupted by Al Cattullo? If so, you're in luck, because he's now the host of a brand new podcast that you can listen to in the morning or at night or whenever. Catch the Morano Whenever podcast at AM970TheAnswer.com or subscribe to it on iTunes. Just search Morano Whenever.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. What a great gift suggestion this holiday season. How about the MyPillow 4-pack? What could be better than giving someone the greatest night's sleep of their lives every single night for the rest of their lives? Well, right now, Mike Lindell is offering over 50% off on two premium MyPillows and two Go Anywhere pillows and free shipping. They are also extending the money-back guarantee all the way through March 1st of 2019. Since I started sleeping on my MyPillow, I've slept better, deeper, more soundly than I ever have before. And if you haven't tried the MyPillow, what are you waiting for? Except missing out on good sleep. Get Mike's 4-pack. Over 50% off two premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows, along with free shipping on this offer only, money-back guarantee until March 1st. Call 800-506-2641 and use the promo code AM970. Or go to MyPillow.com. Make sure you use the promo code AM970. That number again, 800-506-2641. That's 800-506-2641, 800-506-2641, promo code AM970.
Whether you need help with drafting a will or trust, power of attorney, health care proxy, living will, or protecting your assets from nursing home costs, Connors and Sullivan's goal is always the protection of your rights and interests. The professionals at Connors and Sullivan have been helping people like you plan their estates and protect their families for over 30 years.
I'm Mike Connors. Come to our office for a free initial consultation. Talk with me or one of our experienced attorneys to see how we can help you protect your family, your assets, and your legacy. There is no one strategy that fits everyone, but the biggest mistake when it comes to estate planning is no planning at all.
Call Connors and Sullivan Attorneys at Law today to schedule a free initial consultation with an attorney at any of their convenient locations in Brooklyn, Midtown Manhattan, Queens, and Staten Island. 718-238-6500. That's 718-238-6500, or visit their website, connorsandsullivan.com.
Hi, this is Bill Martinez. Join us as the conversation continues about immigration, about our healthcare system. It's all about us. It's all about the truth, wherever it leads.
Bill Martinez live, Monday mornings at 12 a.m. on AM 970, The Answer.
It's a crisp fall morning. Time for your daily pumpkin soy latte. As you wait for your coffee, you get a buzz. No, it's not your boss wanting extra whipped cream, but your ADT video doorbell. It's a package. Your new latte machine. No more $5 PSLs. Barista service. Brought to you by ADT. Designing and installing a smart home just for you. Backed by best-in-class 24/7 protection. Learn more at ADT.com. ADT. Real protection. License information available at ADT.com.
It's Kohl's Super Saturday. Take an extra 15% off when you spend under $100. Or take an extra 20% off when you spend $100 or more. Give joy with cozy sweaters, cuddle dud sheets, or a diamond ring. And get joy with Kohl's Cash. Plus, snap a free picture in-store with Santa, Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. Give joy, get joy at Kohl's. Select styles, 15 and 20% offers valid December 9th through 24th with promo code SNOWMAN. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Like AM 970, The Answer? Then don't forget to like us on Facebook. Interact with us. Share your thoughts about your favorite shows. Give feedback to our hosts. Share your opinion on hot topics. Learn about events and more. AM970TheAnswer.com. AM 970, The Answer.
Yeah, I'm sick.
He was the longest-serving governor in American history, a two-time presidential candidate, a top-rated Fox News Channel host, and all of that before being known as Sarah's dad. Governor Mike Huckabee, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah, you just said
without a wall, these are only areas where you have the walls.
We want to do
where
this.
You have walls, Chuck, it's effective. Where you don't have walls, it is not effective.
Yeah.
Let's call a halt to this.
Yeah, let's call a halt to this. I still think that was one of the best 7 minutes of reality television that's ever aired. And anybody that was near a TV earlier this week when that went down, you know what I'm talking about. It's like you see a wreck that's about to happen in slow motion, and no one can throw to break. Someone that knows all about television, Governor Mike Huckabee, welcome back. Good to have you. Merry Christmas, sir.
And Merry Christmas to you, Kevin. Great to be back on the show.
Did you see that play out live on Tuesday when that went down?
Yeah, I did. I was watching my daughter over the left shoulder of the president, and I could just see in her face a look of absolute delight watching this and seeing her boss just totally roll both Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi all at one time.
I guess there is some sort of like past, you know, etiquette or whatever, that they're not going to go full blown hardcore on each other, you know, in front of a mutual press op. But what is one of the endearing things about President Trump is that he just doesn't ever remember where he is. So it doesn't matter. He's just going to say what's on his mind. And so when he's like, well, I need 10 votes from Chuck, you know, Chuck, you could help me with that. But the Democrats, he just opens up on them. And then you could see the two of them, beads of sweat break out, go, well, do we respond or do we not respond? And I could almost feel Pelosi's handler off camera going, disengage, disengage, disengage. And it wasn't stoppable by that point. She already had, and it was off to the races then.
Well, I think he knew exactly what he was doing. That was not a spontaneous moment. He fully believed that the best way to expose their hypocrisy on the border security was to put them in a room with him. He pushes for something that they both have previously pushed for and exposes they suddenly, because he's in office, don't want it to happen. And they were trying to come up with all kinds of excuses. And the funniest thing was saying, let's take this private. Let's take this conversation private. And the irony is that the press, who always wants transparency, they want to be in the room. They want to know what's going on. And now suddenly it's like they get to see what's going on and they can't handle the truth.
Yeah, it was wild. It literally was the best 5 minutes of TV I've ever witnessed, because there was no predicting what was gonna happen as a result of it. Anyway, there's a lot of discussion then, Governor, about the government shutting down if they don't come to this agreement. And I gotta ask your opinion. You know, your daughter talks to the president every day. Are we serious about this? Is a shutdown looming? Are we ready to go that far to get that $5 billion, which if you're talking about a $2 trillion economy or whatever it is that we've got, it doesn't seem like that much, although it's a lot to me. Are we ready to do that?
Kevin, I hope we are, because the fact is a shutdown only affects 17% of the federal government. And there's all these fears about, well, my mother won't get her Social Security or Medicare payment. That's not true. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, military, all off the table. None of that affected. We're talking about that it would be inconvenient for some people. But the truth is, we would survive. We always do. I think it's time for the president to tell the Democrats, put up or shut up. I'll give you DACA, but you've got to give me the wall funding. And if you don't, okay, we walk away, and it shuts down. Because I'll tell you, there'll be more Democrats affected because they're the ones who love government the most. But the fact is, the country is not going to survive if we keep having open borders. So this is one the president needs to say it's worth defending. It is a hill worth dying on, and I hope he sticks to his guns.
I've got a lot of people, many of the contributors to this show on a weekly basis, who say he won't even get reelected if he doesn't. So that's kind of how dire they see the situation being. And again, we're talking about $5 billion out of whatever, you know, the total package of our economy is. It's not like we can't come up with that if we wanted it to study, you know, the hairs on a camel's nose, you know, in some academic study somewhere. We've done such foolish things with our money in the past. And this is something that it seems like most voters get and most voters want. It certainly was what propelled him to the presidency in 2016.
Yeah, I think you're right. If he abandons the fundamental core promise of his 2016 campaign, which was build the wall, and let the Democrats win on this, I think he will have a lot of the supporters who will just quietly drop away and just will say, well, that's the one thing that we really found important. He didn't get it done. You know, other things got done, but this was critical. He's got to stick with this. He just can't walk away from this promise.
Yeah. Now, my good friend Harris Faulkner, I thought, did a fantastic job of sitting with the president yesterday in the White House. And she brought up the issue that Jeff Flake and John Kasich and a bunch of these guys are saying that the president needs to be primaried in 2020. I'm curious, Governor, you've been through this road a couple of times. What do you make of where the temperature is at with the American people and how that would be received by, you know, because this is also the final day that the Weekly Standard is in operation. They're going out of business. And some people would say that Bill Kristol kind of sowed his own oats there in, essentially primarying the president for the duration of his existence. But this is where do you sit? How does this how would that impact the 2020 picture, in your opinion?
Well, it would forever show people like Jeff Flake and John Kasich how irrelevant they are to the modern Republican Party. They have moderated themselves out of business. They're more interested in being loved by MSNBC than they are being principal conservatives. And their hatred for Donald Trump, and that's what it is, it's a personal vendetta against him, has overshadowed their ability to even vote for, in the case of Jeff Flake, judicial appointments that would be incredibly valuable. And ordinarily, a conservative would suck up his own feelings and say, look, these judicial appointments are important. So let them run. I hope they do. When they get about 3% of the vote and they become the Evan McMullins of the 2020 cycle after being touted by the Bill Kristols, who's going out of business, then maybe they'll get the message that they're no longer really that important to the rest of us who are trying to save this nation from open borders, high taxes, bowing from the waist to foreign leaders who are heads of pipsqueak countries, and that we want a strong America. I think that's exactly the right thing to happen.
I think so. Governor Mike Huckabee, always a pleasure to have you with us. What's on the big show this weekend?
Matt Gaetz is going to be with us this weekend on our TBN show. Don't miss him. He was grilling both the CEO of Google, and he also was in that meeting with James Comey and has some interesting observations from Comey's inability to remember anything. Franklin Graham from Samaritan's Purse will be with us, and the legendary and immortal C.C. Winans is going to be doing some Christmas music that is not to be
man. Met. I love Cece. She's just the best. Anyway, that should be a don't miss Huckabee today. TBN, 8 and 11 on Saturday night, 8 and 11 on Sunday night. Governor, it's fun to say this. It's fun to say it all over the airwaves. It's fun to have it be back in fashion. But Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Kevin. Merry Christmas to you.
Kevin McCullough Radio, coming right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
We are looking at a lot of volume here on Manhattan's West Side Highway heading uptown from the 70s to the George Washington Bridge. Southbound, we're slow from the GW Bridge down into the 150s. On the FDR Drive northbound, we're slow from the 30s right up to the GW Bridge. Southbound, slow as 150s down into the 30s. And looks like the Cross Bronx still jammed westbound from the Bruckner to the GW Bridge. Eastbound heavy off the bridge out towards Westchester Avenue. On the Deacon traveling northbound, we're slow from the RFK Triborough Bridge up to the Cross Bronx. Southbound, we're slow through Van Cortlandt Park and right down to the Cross Bronx Expressway. As we take a look at your ride across the Hudson River, right now we're looking at close to an hour delay outbound at the Holland Tunnel, about 20 to 25 on the city-bound side. 20 to 30 minutes outbound at the Lincoln Tunnel, close to 45 on the city-bound side. 20 minutes inbound at the George Washington Bridge, lower level, 5 to 10 for the upper level. Unfortunately, it looks like it's going to be a slow ride across both levels onto the New York side. And now you know how not to go. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Chances are, your home financing questions won't end when this show does. So the next time you have a question about home loans, ask the lending experts at Citizens Bank. They can help you every step of the way during the home buying process, starting with getting a pre-approval before you start shopping for a new home. Call 212-857-6668, 212-857-6668, and ask a Citizen. Mortgages are offered and originated by Citizens Bank N.A., NMLS number 433960, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. If you've got lower back pain, neck pain, or upper back pain, I want you to talk to my very good friend, Dr. Melinda Keller. Why? Because as the director of the Brooklyn Spine Center, she sees people with pain all the time. And she is simply the best when it comes to non-surgical spinal decompression. What I love about Dr. Melinda Keller is that she's committed to eradicating the pain, and not just with scary injections or surgery. No, she wants to make sure your spine is healthy, so she'll give you a complete diagnosis. And if you've got a bulging disc, spinal stenosis, sciatica, or herniated disc, she's going to point you in an all-natural direction that will not cut your body or put shots into your system. Please call and find out more, because she's going to help you alleviate that pain at its source and do things like walk freely again or play with your children or grandchildren. Call her now, 718-234-6200. That's 718-234-6200. And let Dr. Keller and the Brooklyn Spine Center help you right now. 718-234-6200.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Jay Sekulow Live is next on AM 970, The Answer.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light.
What you need to know when you need it. Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. Have you gotten your Christmas present from me yet? I'd be a crummy Christmas present if that's what it was. But I do have a complimentary sample of CoQ10ergy that has your name on it. I'm going to pay for the postage. I'm going to pay for the sample to get it to you. Because if you're looking for caffeine-free energy that is calorie, carb, and caffeine-free, but loaded with B vitamins, loaded with more absorbable CoQ10 than any CoQ10 product on the market, good for your heart, good for your nails, good for your skin, good for you in so many ways, and you want to try it, I've got it. I've just put it on my tab. Go to kmcfree.com, kmcfree.com, and you can get your complimentary sample of that. Also got good news yesterday. On Monday, we're going to name the winner of our Landmark Capital 1 ounce $20 gold piece giveaway. It's a 1915 gold coin commemorating the Panama Canal, the connecting of East-West, opening up trade, doing all the things that the president is now trying to do in terms of opening up trade. But David Fisher has been he's been diagnosed with some really tough medical stuff, but he's out of the hospital and back at it, and he's going to join us on Monday for that giveaway, which he was really wanting to do, and I was really praying for him and hoping he would pull through, and he was really excited when he contacted me yesterday to tell me the good news. Finally today, more than a quarter of people that were surveyed, according to a new survey reported by CBS News, believe that Santa should be different than he is. About 20% of them want him to adorn himself with tattoos. About another 30% would like him to dump the red and white overcoat and the fuzzy fur with skinny jeans and a skin-tight T-shirt. Several also believe that he should ditch the sleigh in exchange for a flying car. This is according to a survey that Graphic Springs did. CBS News is reporting it. But the one that was really the bottom line, no holds barred, gobsmacker for me. About a quarter of the people that took the survey believe that Santa should be gender neutral or female. That's it. I'm out. I quit. I'm done. Get me out of here. This is over. I'm gone.